American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the internet for Monday, August the 23rd, and this is 2010, and you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy, spelt like the dead guy, .livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and if you're so inclined into the cybersphere, you can catch us every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Second Life Node Archers at grid 155-74-666. And if you wanted to be so hardcore, you could be here with RU46, Morphs, Anastasia, Anna, Dole, Anthony L., Lauren Law, Yukasaki, Agent Dak, Eleni, Eyeballs, Cyrix, Dawn, Denim, DJ Dally, Lachlan Legion, Max the Token Cap, Mindy Starek, Rashnarok, Royal, Sophia, Spider Mike, and Theotsu Composer. Haha. So, and let us not forget my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, who's been able to, you know, gate in, even though I'm using totally crappy tech. But I've started to upgrade. You know, now I have a headset, which it's weird now because I'm talking to you with headphones with, like, with my ears covered. Because it covers my ears, right? The other one only covered one ear.
Okay.
And now I'm, like, weirded out because it's like I'm inside of a fishbowl and I'm talking to you. And I'm not used to the way the show sounds because you get used to the way the show sounds. You know, maybe if I tuck one ear around the side so that it's like, yeah, that's a little bit better. So now I don't feel like
I'm... take one off, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not, like, totally trapped inside my own head. That was hard to get through that show intro. But let's not forget that we are still simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. Simi, I missed you last week. What happened? What's going on? People want to know what happened in the
show. Yeah, my fault.
What's that? Oh, no, I know it's not. Why is it always about blame? No, I just mean we all know whose fault that was. I mean, there's no reason to bring that up. The truth of the matter is that what have you been doing? You know, that's the big question. What have you been up to in those two weeks?
Not a whole lot. Doing my show and, you know, just hanging out.
Hanging out.
Being cool.
Having fun. Getting mad at stories on the internet. I see how it is. I see how it is. Well, I mean, the Pirate pirate Radio Show, which Pirate Party Radio Show, if people are not familiar with it, is a much more talented show than my own. So if you like this show, you'll love Pirate Party Radio because, I mean, it actually has, you know, real content and technology and actual functioning equipment that you know, works towards making it happen. And people, you know, one or two people listen to this show rather than yours because you're, like, getting international... acclaim now, being part of the official radio station of the Pirate Party. And that's, like, global. You've got, like, you know, you're, like, the leader of all the pirates. You're, like, Pirate King. You're Pope.
At least pastor for Canada and the U.S. I wouldn't say international.
No, well, we're working on it. We're working on it. And,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you've got your method of reaching out there. I got us some feedback. I don't know, did you listen to the last episode? Called Sean's
I did.
Grumpy. Did you listen to the whole thing?
Yes, I did.
Where I was like, you know all that stuff about, like, don't buy from corporations. That's all bullshit. Yeah, all that. Yeah, that's all crap. You know, life is hell. You know, drink the Kool-Aid. You know, save yourself.
Yeah, I thoroughly agreed with every point. Nope. I mean, you do raise some interesting points. You do have to look out for yourself first.
Right.
Then the people around you. And you build your circle out and out. But, I mean, if you are comfortable, if you're making a living, you have a house, you have shelter, you can extend your circle to care for things and people and things around you other than fuck the world and everything in it.
However, you can
do a little bit of caring out there.
No, of course. And I'm guilty as charged. Why do we do the show? Why do we reach out to people we don't know through the internet? I can't very well claim that, you know, I hate the universe and then go on our you know, this weird... charitable marathon we do to try to, you know, reach out to the people across the internet. I mean, this isn't
very true,
obviously. But what I'm afraid of, and quite often what I am afraid of, is people who are like, you know, they don't bathe anymore and they kind of got the white guy dreadlocks on the go, which is disgusting. And their excuse for doing that is that they don't know any better. Like, well, they're going to save the world or whatever, you know. And you know, well. I mean, we're not going to actually argue about last show. I'm not going to allow you to retort on my major. I'm sure you've got it all written out on Foolscap. Well, Sean, at 33:32, you made mention of this particular line. I've got it queued up as a soundbite here through my mic system because I have technology. So
right.
Just, you know, let your tape run and we'll pick it all up. Don't worry. I did it all my side. Yeah.
That's right.
I've got some feedback for some other episodes we can look at. Re-episode 464, UK Lockdown. Yo, Sean and Sim. During the aforementioned show, Sean was wondering what the fuck is up with the UK and the ongoing lockdown is concerned. We've seen this before in movies, most notably V for Vendetta and Children of Men, both very good movies, where everybody's locked down, much like the After Now Future, which is the most most frustrating and galling is no one other than you is saying anything about it. I mean, holy shit, we're all seeing this in the mail right now because of examples that are fictional and movies that are largely ignored. Keep on screaming, guys. Someone will listen. And that's from Iron Squid over in the UK. Yeah. Well, I mean, if your only choices are, you know, Alex Jones or me, or Fox News, if that's your two choices, you know, Alex Jones and Fox News, I mean, that's a pretty stark future we got there. You know what I mean? So I'd like to think that there's, you know, we, the rats of the walls, who will continue to survive and eat what we choose and, you know, carry on. You know, that's the big idea. But I guess not a lot of people are talking about just how incredibly screwed the UK is. I mean, I guess there's not a lot of feedback.
Well, it'd be depressing, like if normal conventional television stations and radio shows were talked about that all the time, like people would start offing themselves, and the people don't really notice. It's like the boiling frog syndrome. Like, oh, we'll just add a couple cameras here for this big event we're having, and then they just don't come down after the big event, and they add a couple more because, you know, a crime took place in that area. Oh, yeah, the crime. We got to stop that crime. And all of a sudden, you look up, and the sky is covered with cameras watching your every move. And you just don't notice. And people start to wake up one day and look around and go, what happened? What just happened in the last 10 years?
You know, why don't we do that? Instead of having an event where there's lots of cameras around, why don't we do that in Africa? You know, where we just had the World Cup, and we'll put up cameras all over Africa, and then we make a contract so it has to stream, so the rest of the world can watch as that country tears itself apart, and like genocide is going on. I mean, you could sell tickets to that stuff, right? Because nobody gives a shit about what's going on in Africa. No one even reads the news about Africa anymore, because it's depressing, right? It's depressing. There's child soldiers, you know.
Well,
we get one or two on
giving
Oprah.
Up on it. I mean, people hear about it for 10, 20 years, and it's like, are they still fucked? Yeah, it's – why are we even talking about it then?
Honestly
– just give up. They get desensitized.
Does anybody remember a time when Africa wasn't fucked? Like, ever? Anyone listening to this program remember a time when they don't remember the Fat Kid commercials on TV about the Ethiopian starving babies with the flies and stuff? Like, does anybody not remember that? Like, the starving child television commercial is, like, one of our most nostalgic memes. It connects generations. There are people who are 50 who've seen those fat, starving, bloated belly kids. I mean, it's fucking horrible. The whole thing is just beyond atrocious. It's like one of the great horrors of our reality, and we use our dark humor to get past it, but holy crap. Speaking of dark humor, holy cow. Did you hear about Dr. Laura Schlesinger? I couldn't believe it. She got dragged off the air. I thought she'd never go down. You know, they took her off the air because she used the N-word. That's what it was. Yeah. She said nigger on the air, and that's it. She was done. And I was, like, terrified about it. Like, I stay away from racial issues, you know. Being Canadian, you know, I live in British Columbia where there's not a lot of black people here. I mean, there's just not. You know, no. Not that I've met. We have a large Asian population. We have a large Indian population. We have a large. Well, and you know what? There's more and more. I guess black people. I even feel bad calling them black people. You know what I mean? But I mean, we all grew up listening to Paris, and like I was the most angry at white people. You know, white kid ever from all the music I was listening to growing up. I was like,
me too. Yeah, I was like, fuck the white guy.
Yeah, fuck
down
whitey.
With white.
Yeah, kill him. You know, because all the black guys have the really cool, tough sounding music, and that's kind of what you're into right there. Sort of. You know, if we didn't get into Rant Media, we turn into the guy from Office Space who was all like, "Damn, motherfucker, that." You know, that's totally what it is.
That's how it was. Yeah.
But isn't that bizarre? Okay, like a black man is now running the United States of America. Okay. Can we get past it now? Can we, like, just, okay, it's all clear. You know what I mean? Like, race is no longer an issue, but they need
it. It's such a big deal in the U.S.
They need that. They need the race issue. Can you imagine if we didn't have a race issue? This is why memory sucks. Memory fucking sucks. If everybody woke up tomorrow and they just didn't remember what they were supposed to be mad at or what they were pissed off about, they need reasons to keep people divided. No, it's important that your parents were Chinese. No, it's important that your parents... No, it's totally not important. It does not fucking matter. And that is the reason why we have war in the Middle East, because they're looking at people as a different species. Not as a different ethnicity. In some places, people go, well, like, especially in the racist concept, they're the ones all concerned about, you know, making sure that you don't use racial slurs. It's a word, man. It doesn't mean, you know, she used a bad word on the air and got kicked off the air for it. Now, I mean, Dr. Laura's kind of a pinhead anyway. You know, she's got some crazy shithawk ideas. I think she's funny because she says some hilarious stuff. And, you know, but she's definitely not as bad as like Rush Limbaugh or any of these other guys, you know, but she said the wrong word and got her throat cut off the air. I couldn't believe that. So I heard about that one that went down, but I was just like, really? Wow. You know, I mean, oh, well, I guess.
Did you hear it? Did you listen to it?
I did.
The transcript?
I did. Okay. I didn't think it was that bad. She was quoting the guys on HBO. She was pretty. She wasn't like she was going off, you know, I mean, it was.
No, she was making a point. It might have been a really crazy point, but she was making a point. Why can't I say the word and everybody else can say it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the whole thing. I mean, she wasn't... I mean, yeah, okay, granted. She's a pinhead. All right, okay, got it. She's a pinhead, she's an idiot, whatever. Okay, but that said, there's lots of pinheads and idiots running around out there in the world right now. Like, there's no shortage of those people. Like, Tia Tequila getting justice from the Juggalos. Oh, my God. Oh, rapturous day. I'm really happy about that. And every once in a while, something like that happens, and it's, you know, it's a wonderful morning. But generally speaking, there's a million trillion idiots on the air, and myself included, who never get shut the fuck up. But, you know, I just don't like the way she was taken out. You know, that's what it is. I thought, you know, if you're going to kick her off the air, don't kick her off the air for that. You know, really? Like, it just seemed ridiculous to me for in this day and age to have that kind of mentality. Like, can't we just get past the race issue, please? Like, there's more to you than your ethnic identity, okay? Like, really, there is. You're a person, you're a human being, you've got, you know, thoughts and dreams and stuff. Maybe, you know, I've never really grew up with any concept of race. I've always, like, I grew up with many different ethnic backgrounds because I was born in Canada, so like I'm surrounded by all sorts of different people, and making racial slurs at each other was a joke. I mean, it's not something that anybody took seriously, you know, and people are getting shot over it and stuff. It's crazy.
People like to connect themselves with a bigger group. People like to associate themselves with this long heritage of things, of places that they've never even been. Like, is it realistic to call myself Irish? I've never been to Ireland. It's generations back. I've never even met my forefathers that came from Ireland. Like, it's way back.
And you don't like beer.
Is it realistic?
You don't like beer. You don't drink. Nope. You're about the least Irish dude I've ever met. No offense. I mean, you're nonviolent.
Yeah.
Right there. Ta-da. That pretty much rules you out of the whole Irish heritage thing right there. I mean, you know, they're one thing they're renowned for. I mean, they do make music, though.
But am I Canadian-Irish? Can I call myself Canadian-Irish and claim that heritage?
I go with human. I go with human.
Yeah,
I go with the human thing. Yeah. And I'm a human. I grew up in Canada. you know, and luckily because I grew up in Canada, it's a great country, because we have kind of gotten past. We're probably the country on the planet with the biggest melting pot mentality, you know. This whole thing they got going on right now where they're taking those people off the ships and everything and all the boat people they're heading over here, that's a bad situation because those people are getting, you know, taken by human trafficking and they're victims in this whole thing. It's a real shitstorm. I'm glad I'm not in charge of that. That would just suck. But, of course, you know, technology is, you know, always going to be there to make things just a little bit better. So let's keep going through some feedback here. Hi, that's how it opened. Hi. I'm a big fan of SK. All right. I've been following you since the early patrolling days. I would very much enjoy it if you have a look at this article and reflect on it at least some as a subject in the show. The article basically states that two decades after its birth, the World Wide Web is in decline as simpler, sleeker services, think apps, are less about searching and more about getting. And this is all about how Web 2.0 is going to be destroying the internet. And the truth is, of course it will. That's why the iPhone has taken over the planet. That's why Macs sell. It's because people are not technically inclined. And there's a lot of Mac people are going to get really pissed off at me for saying that. But, you know, right from the horse's mouth, Macs are easier to use out of a box. If you set up a Windows box and you set up a Mac box and put two people who don't know shit about computers in front of them, the guy with the Mac, because their user interface is more intuitive, will probably figure stuff out faster. Now, I'm going to get, you know, people arguing, well, no, I picked up a PC and I I knew it all. It was like Morpheus. You know, no, okay. It's just the way the graphical user interface. That's why Facebook took over the world. Okay, that's why all this is happening. But what's important for WOGs, what's important for those of us who wish to avoid the camps and keep other people out of the camps, is we must remember the old ways. We must be like the ancient ones who understand things like bulletin board systems and news groups and like doing things from a command prompt and such. This is very, very important to remember, because if you don't, you're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be use it or lose it, and it's going to be gone. And that will suck a lot.
Go ahead. I think there's always going to be a segment of the population that's going to be really into the internet, the inner workings. There's always those the other people who just want to use it as a tool and get stuff done. It's like, even way back in the day, people maybe didn't go in the news groups or IRC, and they just wanted to go to a web page and get
it's the idea of script kiddies, right? That's the whole idea. It's basically Web 2.0 is script kiddie of the masses. That's what it is. Everybody just goes on. It's super easy to use. I give you my name, my credit card number, and you give me the world. Hooray! It's so much fun. In Cyberpunk Lockdown news, we've all seen the obsessively referred to Minority Report, Steven Spielberg's adaptation of Philip K. Dick's dystopian future, where the public is tracked everywhere they go, from shopping malls to mass transit and their privacy in their own homes. The technology is here. I've seen it myself. It's seen me too, and it scans my irises. Biometrics R&D firm Global Rainmakers Incorporated announced today that it's rolling out iris scanning technology to create what it calls the most secure city in the world. Interesting. In a partnership with Leon, one of the largest cities in Mexico, with a population of more than 1 million, GRI will fill the city with eye scanners that will help law enforcement revolutionize the way we live, not to mention marketers. In the future, whether it's entering your home, opening your car, entering a workspace, getting a pharmacy prescription filled, or having your medical records pulled up, everything will come off the unique key that is your iris, says Jeff Carter, CDO of Global Rainmakers. Before coming to GRI, Carter headed a think tank partnership between the Bank of America, Harvard, and MIT. Every person, place, and thing on this planet will be connected to the iris system within the next 10 years. Pretty bold claim. Pretty bold claim
that
to
is.
Make. To have a
he
have
wishes a, it'll be connected within the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it will be, maybe it won't. You know, I'm sure that within his perfect world, that would be what he would want to see. Leon is the first step. To implement the system is creating a database of irises. Criminals will automatically be enrolled, their irises scanned. Once convicted, law-abiding citizens will have the option to opt in. Wow. So,
you sign me up.
Yeah, that sounds like a really
what prizes do I get?
Yeah, you get all the really Gucci good stuff, I suppose, with this particular loadout. That's kind of crazy. You know, I'm not too sure I would be the first one in line to pick up this. But of course, Mexico, you know, it's a pretty nice city. So especially for bringing in, you know, draconian measures like this, because they're having all kinds of problems down there in Mexico. So, you know, you never know what those kind of draconian measures can bring about. I guess because
you know, sometimes you need some extreme measures to problems that they're having. Like if there's that, like the news stories that we've been hearing out of Mexico, you need some extreme measures to get it under control and get it back to, you know, a reasonable level, and you know, then you can get on with your life.
Oh well, either way, he's probably right. Just as the anonymity on the internet is going to start dying out, this is going to be one of the next few little things that comes along that they're going to use to put the squeeze on people like yours truly, and well, you too, Sim. I mean, pretty soon they're going to be diagnosing you with that disease, whatever it was called. Remember that mental condition you have because you don't want to eat the crap? Oh, yeah, no.
Siminosis.
Sumerian's disease is what I call it. Yeah, but don't worry, they'll arrest you. Yeah. I've got a story on that too, but let me get to it. Let me get to it. In pharma fascist news, because we always like that, thank you very much, Mind Inversion, for sending me this story. Nearly 1 million children in the United States are potentially misdiagnosed with attention and deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. There are 1 million of them are misdiagnosed. There's a hell of a lot more than 1 million of them that's been misdiagnosed. I hate to say it, because
yeah.
How'd you get 1 million? Would you pick that number out of your ass? Like, seriously, 1 million? You know, just 1 million?
Exactly 1 million.
Simply because they are the youngest and most immature in the kindergarten class, according to new research by Michigan State University economists. These children will significantly more likely than their older classmates be prescribed behavior modifying stimulants such as Ritalin, said Todd Elder, whose study appeared in the forthcoming issue of Journal of Health Economics. Such inappropriate treatment is particularly worrisome because of the unknown impacts of long-term stimulant use on children's health, Elder said. It also wastes an estimated $320 to $500 million a year on unnecessary medication, and some $80 million to $90 million of it paid by Medicaid, he said. Now, that's interesting. So that's an interesting angle. Don't give your kids drugs because it's expensive, right? I mean, that's an interesting angle to not give your kids drugs. Never mind the fact that, you know, so when they're talking to you and they're talking about whether or you're involved in a conversation and someone is saying, hey, I want to medicate my kid, you know, I'm going to just dope them out and that'll be fun. And rather than say, don't medicate your kids and get drawn into that sucker discussion, no. What you do is you approach it like, well, that's expensive. Well, what do you mean? Well, doping out your kids is pricey, man. I mean, you know, who's paying for that? What if you lose your job? You ever see those kids come off that shit? You ever see kids, like, drop Ritalin hard? What happens? You get the psycho exorcist child. That's what you get, man. You got red rum running up down the hallways. That's what you got to deal with if you can't afford to keep your kid doped up. What if you can't keep your kid high? What then? You know? Jesus, these will be the problems that we have to deal with. If you can't keep your kid high, it's a horrible state of affairs. In the industrial, in the industrial world, is it really that important? Like, what's wrong with our culture and society if we really have to put our kids on that many drugs? You know, I don't...
Well, they're cramping the parents' lifestyles. I mean, they're getting all hyper, and they have to deal with the kids rather than, you know, sit them in front of a television. They're asking for stuff and demanding attention and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, it is nowadays. It is difficult. You know, you want to make sure that you can watch... the next top model dancer reality people trapped in a house TV show everybody gets voted off the island. That's what they want, right? They've got to get you got
to
get
and
that
your
sort
kid
of
wants you to read a book to them, and I mean, it interrupts with your favorite TV shows.
Oh, books are so passive, you know. It's hard to be engaged.
Yeah.
It's difficult to read something to your kid because then, you know, you have to read too. And there's words and stuff, and, you know, I just couldn't get into the last Twilight book. You know, that's my problem. You know, I can't go for all this Harry Potter Twilight stuff, you know. Anyway, and don't drink the water news. You know, I want to talk about, you know, would hate to be, I'm an old person. I'm 36. Am I 36 or 37? Yep. I can never remember this shit.
36.
I'm 36. So, you know. I'm old. I'm ancient and archaic. But
very old,
and I'm happy about that because I would hate to be a child today. And don't drink the water news. The industrial chemical bisphenol, but bucephalus.
Bisphenol. I don't know.
Bisphenol. I'm going to go with bisphenol. Sure. bisphenol. Yeah, sure. Why the fuck do they name these things this stuff? Bisphenol A, that's what we're going with, which has been linked to developmental and reproductive problems and mimics estrogen, is present in roughly 91% of the Canadian population, particularly in teens between the ages of 12 to 19. Well, that just explains the entire, you know, My Chemical Romance emo thing, like, right there. You know, it's the bottled water. That's why it's all, you know, when I was a young boy, you know, that's where that's coming from. It's there's something in the water. Statistics Canada. No, totally. Like, come on. You know, I don't want a generation of Morrissey because I was drinking Aquafina.
Really?
That doesn't make sense. You know, that's wrong.
Where do all the drugs go when they pass? They're all completely absorbed by us. They get put back into the water stream and added over decades and decades, and now it's built up, and we have to deal with this.
Statistics Canada released a new data on Monday showing how pervasive chemicals and compounds such as BPA and mercury are in the country's population. The Canadian Health Measures Survey stated, the urine of 91% of those in the study contained detectable levels of BPA, a chemical used in the polycarbonate plastic epoxy resins used in the lining of canned foods, as well as in hard plastic bottles and food containers. Many are concerned about its impact on fetuses, infants, and children, which can cause developmental problems as well as cancer, diabetes, and other ailments. Which is pretty much the phone book. I mean, you got developmental problems, cancer, diabetes, and a whole hockey sock of other... And we're just throwing darts, really. We don't even know what the fuck this stuff does, but it's probably going to rock your world, you know? It's definitely not going to make you, you know, live long and prosper, so to speak. Like, I don't know. I don't drink... How much bottled water do you drink from plastic? Do you drink a lot of bottled water from plastic, or what?
Zero.
None.
I don't really... I drink liquids at home, and when I'm out, I usually buy stuff in glass bottles, so pretty much zero, which is good.
What do you drink when you're out? Like, if you're out...
Usually orange juice.
Oh.
Like, I would buy it, yeah.
I do know that you like your... And for anyone who would decry this, anyone who's listening to this right now, okay, it's very important that we don't point any holes in the following statement, okay? It's very important that we let Sim have this.
Okay. What?
Well, what was that drink we were drinking the other day? For some reason, I've just drawn a total... I was hoping it would come to me. It's the coconut drink. If you make it with vodka, it's a chi-chi. If you make it with rum, it's a... What? Pina colada. That's what it is.
Pina colada. Yum, yum, yum.
Now, pina coladas, right? I had one
virgin
the other
one for
day.
Me.
And I found the place to get a pina colada in British Columbia. Like, I know the restaurant to go to get the pina coladas now. Yeah, the really good ones.
Nice.
The really good ones. You get them from the Old Spaghetti Factory. They make a bitchin' pina colada. You know, really.
They really do.
You'll have to get them to hold the cream because they have cream in it. But there is a little bit of cream. Yeah. But they make a bitchin' pina colada. So you might want to have a look at that. So just in... Because I took, you know, an elderly... grandmother type person to there and fed her a bunch of pina coladas, which is always a good time. You know, I really enjoy getting advanced senior citizens very drunk. I think that's great. You know, and the best thing about drunk old people is nobody fucks with them. They'd be like, whatever, you're all a bunch of fucking yuppies anyway. Look at you, I had my buddies die in a second war, and any one of them would cut you in half, you fucking pussy. And
they get a total free pass. They can do
what they want.
They can go wherever they want. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Looking forward to being an old man over here. No.
Oh, no.
No lawn will be safe.
It's worse, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be awesome. Get off of the lawn. So, also, let's get into the next little story. Now, of course, every day we're finding more and more insanely cyberpunk stories. And, of course, from... Max Headroom, which is now available and is part of our Recomedia today. So you can get that on Amazon for a mere $32. Outstanding. You will see huge influence on the After Now from Max Headroom. Just a bit. It's like very, very much a lot of influence going on there. But there's a festival they have in Max Headroom and the TV show, which is related to this story called Sky Clearance. Happy Sky Clearance. And this is when the satellites are crashing down on the planet and the kids run around and run up to the radioactive satellites because they break open and they're looking for toys inside.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's called Sky Clearance. That's pretty fucking dark. And Trench Spike sent me this story. DARPA has a thing for butterfly tech. Last week it was sensors based on butterfly wings. This week it's space junk capturing vehicles armed with 200 nets to gather space garbage as much as a lepidopterist would net butterflies for specimen collecting. The technology was presented on Friday at the annual Space Elevator Conference. The Electrodynamics Debris Eliminator, or EDI, the brainchild of engineers at Star Incorporated and ostensibly DARPA backers, are funding its development. In practice, EDI would zip around a low Earth orbit, snaring bits of space garbage with its many nets that cannot be can be a menace to other orbiting spacecraft. Star CEO estimates that over 7 years, 12 EDI craft could clean up all 2,465 objects over 4.5 pounds that are currently being tracked through the LEO. Once Eddie has a piece of space junk cornered, he can either hurl it into the South Pacific, where it has little chance of doing any harm, except for, of course, animals that live in the South Pacific, but nobody gives a fuck about them, or put it in a trajectory to burn up during reentry. Or, Star insists, pieces of junk could be recycled right there in space to create new raw materials for the construction of future orbiting space stations or satellites. Now, that's probably the best idea I've heard. Draw in all the satellites and just start making yourself a big, you know, satellite garbage barge. Which, you know, that's what you make your space station out of. You know, there's materials there. You got to build your space station out of something. May as well build it out of
space. It costs a lot to get that kind of material into space. That's what they complain about, is the cost and the weight of getting all this material. And they've got all this junk sitting up there.
Shit is expensive. Shit is expensive.
It's awesome.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the beanstalk or space elevator concept, what it is the idea that we use super alloys to build an elevator which goes up geosynchronous to Earth, because we have like geosynchronous satellites that just stay in one place over the Earth and never move. So the idea is to actually build like a cable that an elevator could climb to decrease the load of the cost of getting objects into space, because after a certain point it's no longer a problem. If we actually had a space elevator, oh baby. I mean, the shit we could build if we had a space elevator, that would be super hot. But unfortunately, they're saying that Buckminster Fullerene might be able to do it, but they're not really too sure. Now, this is the one that Sporadic E sent in, Simi. This is the food crime story. And if you go to the LiveJournal, you'll see that there's a... I have the actual YouTube broadcast that the family put up. Okay, this is an... normally, I don't do local or state family stories, because there's there's all kinds of stories about, you know, cops on a fucking tirade, kicking in people's doors and shooting their dogs and scaring the shit out of the kids. That's kind of blasé.
Yes.
You know, they taser everybody in
that's
the house
old.
And they realize that, you know, they forgot to carry the 3 with the address, and now everything's fucked up, and all these guys in ski masks are like, oh, sorry. So realistically, the idea of cops, you know, fucking up and raiding the wrong house, that doesn't even merit the concept of news anymore. But the idea of having, you know, the reasons why cops are raiding your house. I mean, we know the cops are going to come in, they're going to be bullies and such. But, you know, it's why are they bullies? And this one specifically, we already covered, Sim, that there's like the Sumerian's disease thing, where if you happen to give a shit about what you put into your body, suddenly you're crazy. I don't really understand that too well, but this one here, an Ohio family whose members have served their friends and neighbors with food cooperative services involving bulk and discount supplies have been targeted and raided by armed law enforcement officers wearing black fatigues who forcibly rounded up the mom and 10 children and held them for 6 hours. The raid prompted a complaint filed on behalf of the family by the Center of Constitutional Law and the Buckeye Institute, and alleges authorities made a haphazard announced entry into the property, guns drawn, as other officers surrounded the property with guns drawn, and then confiscated the family's personal food supply, personal computers, and personal cell phones. Now, the interesting thing here is that this is over food. Okay, this isn't a drug raid. Okay, this is about a food raid. Now, have you heard about this kind of thing before, Simi?
Yeah, this is about raw milk, and this is happening all over North America. The government is concerned that they're selling raw milk that could be contaminated because it hasn't been pasteurized to the public, and they believe that, you know, it's their job to keep the public safe, which it is. But the overreaction of the police and the government to them selling raw milk is... You see the videos of it, and they're kicking down doors with weapons in their hands, and these people are grocery clerks. It's unbelievable what's happening.
Well, I suppose there was a time when people would have thought that the same way about pot, because, I mean, this is a plant that was growing naturally all over the United States. But, I mean, you know, you could kind of argue, oh, no, it makes kids insane. It's a gateway drug. It's going to kill us all, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, you know, I don't understand why they, you know, I'm all for cops. Everybody knows I love cops. I think cops are great. But really, you know, the guys with the SWAT van are like, yeah, we're going to be going after people because they got some seeds. And you know, everybody's kind of looking at each other in the van like, really? Like, that's why I put on the body armor, is because we're going after people who've got some celery? Like,
these are the bad guys?
And this yeah. is a bizarre tale. And you could go to the website, and you can have a look at this. This is, again, over food, okay? And these are people who are feeding their own children. This is not about, you know, they're selling drugs, or the food's toxic, or it's any weird... you know, alternative medicine thing going on where they think they're hurting themselves or they're getting better, but they're hurting people. No, the complaint states the affidavit does not indicate the stowers are dangerous. So even though the cops were, this is their complaint, and the affidavit against it said that the stowers were not dangerous. Clearly, no one's going to have 10 kids in their house and, you know, do the homeschooling thing and generally be super psychotic, especially with small children. But anyway, the stowers are not dangerous. Yet we got the door kickers on the go. The affidavit doesn't indicate exigent circumstances that would warrant using force, so they just went in there going crazy. The police knocked on the door, and Katie Stowers opened the door, and then they went nuts. Police shoved Katie to the side and immediately entered the residence without first announcing that they were police or the purpose of the visit. During the raid, at least one, if not several, police entered the home with guns drawn. The Stowers' home was surrounded by cops who also had their guns drawn in case any of that celery tried to get out of there. They'd have to shoot that dead. And once having obtained entry, the lead officer, with his gun drawn, swiftly and immediately moved upstairs of the home where he found 8 small children. The officer used physical force to get Jacqueline Stowers and her children down the stairs. The officers held the Stower family captive in their living room for an excess of 6 hours. The complaint raises issues of unlawful search and seizure, taking of private property, due process, and unlawful application of police power. And the interesting thing here is that they were kept prisoner in their living room. That's an interesting point. What an incredible... And she mentions this on the air. She said, well, in the little thing, she says that she's having, like, you look at this woman, okay, and if she's one of these kind of people that if anyone even, like, you know, waved a gun in her general direction, she'd probably just shit her pants right there and just die. And there's people out there who are like okay? Like, they're like, violence! Yeah. And, you know, they haven't really embraced the fact that, guess what, violence is part of life, it's part of the world you live in, you're going to need to understand this tool, otherwise it's going to control you. You know, there's people who don't buy into that, and she's one of those people. I don't agree with that mentality. I think it's a fucking broken mentality, which leaves you vulnerable, but I agree with the woman's right to believe whatever the fuck she wants, right? If she wants to believe that, rock on. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You could be right. You know, she's clearly not a threat to anyone, so I don't really see that, you know, she's not hurting anybody with this belief structure, but, I mean, you can see in the video, she's, like, all fucked up, and being held hostage in your own house, having people run all over your house, like, where are you going to feel safe again? You know, like, what are you going to need to do?
Out. This is the government.
Yeah, these are the people that you pay taxes to. Like, this is your government shitting all over you because of your food supply. You know, like, this is insane. I mean, you've heard of this before. But, I mean, okay, so if you eat, and of course, all these people, they got to have this disease too, eh, Simi? Right? Because they're selling unlicensed food. And obviously they're concerned about what they're putting in their body, so they're all crazy as well.
They are. Yeah, they're a different kind of crazy, but the same umbrella of crazy, yeah.
But, well, and let's add to that fact is they're talking about the Constitution, so clearly they're domestic terrorists, right? Believing in, you know, freedom.
Yeah, it is.
And the Constitution. Yeah. So, you know, those kids, mentally unbalanced parents that are involved with, you know, domestic terrorism, we got to get those kids out of there. You know, they're going to be taken away. Well, you know, that's the next... And we're not at that stage yet. But this
is Waco all over.
Oh,
it's
I remember when Waco was a big deal, you know, in Ruby Ridge and all that stuff. But now it's like, oh yeah, you're selling, you know, they're doing group buys, like they're all going in and buying seeds from a bank and stuff. I mean, like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So this is how they get it around the law, because you're not allowed to directly sell unpasteurized milk to the public. But you're allowed to do bulk purchases of it. So this is how they get around the laws that are set up. And so they're on both sides of a gray fence of a law, and it's really wacky.
Well, I find it interesting that, you know, with all the people that need to have their doors kicked in with guns drawn, because believe you me, in any given city, there's all kinds of motherfuckers who need to have their doors kicked in with guns drawn. And you know, the seed farmers, even if they're insidious seed farmers, even if these are the Prince of fucking Darkness seed farmers who are trying to, like, make everything taste like carrots, you know, like those pricks who are, like, you know, mix carrot juice with everything and everything turns you orange and stuff, those guys need to get shot. But they're further down the list than, say, meth labs, you know, and things of that nature.
Sometimes it's a low-hanging fruit, just like going after speeders. These people that are selling the milk, they're easy to find, easy to arrest. It shows that the police are doing something. I think that's what the case is, that they want to show, make their budget up or something. And
well, maybe they're all SWAT new guys. Maybe they're all like the new guys. So they're going to do a couple of easy knockovers. They'll go pick on some vegans. You know, go arrest a couple of hippies until they get their confidence up. Yep. And then, you know, they can go, you know, go after people like Dog go after, or like severely malnourished drunks and stuff like that. And then, you know, maybe they'll work their way up to, you know, someone who's a drunk ex-military guy who, you know, has a couple of medals for bravery, but since he got fucked by his country, he's kind of mad about that. So we're going to have to shoot him in the street. You know, that's the general sort of ascending ladder, like a video game. You know, maybe they should do that for a video game. We'll have, like, Cop, the video game. And you start with, like, you know, the easy missions. We have, like, grannies that you have to taser. And then you, like, work your way up until you get, like, you know, disgruntled war vets. And then, you know, you're going to wind up getting shot one day, I suppose. I don't know. I'm kind of generally pro-cop, but I see this sort of stuff. And I'm like, really, guys? Aren't you kind of losing your way a little bit with this? Isn't this, you know, at some point, isn't some cop somewhere going to be like, really? Really? Because of seeds? Really? Like, that's kind of fucked, isn't it, Chief? I mean, you know, these people are seeds, man.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure. Not the cops that are doing it. They go where they're told. It's the people telling them where to go, and it's just, it's out of control.
It's got to be a shitty job for that cop. You know, there's the 10 kids all crying. The mother's looking at them. I just want to feed my children. He's like, fuck my life, you know? Seriously, I've got to come in here, do this, like, shit, and I look like...
How do they feel when they go home to their kids? And like, how do you harden somebody up to go kick down somebody's door and keep the kids hostage for 6 hours?
Oh,
how
that's
do you
easy.
Convince them that's, to do that.
That's a piece of piss. You send them to Iraq. They're doing that, like, non-fucking-stop over there. Okay, well, the combat teams have left now, but, I mean, they got a lot of dudes who are in Iraq, and that's exactly what they did. Dragging motherfuckers out of their bed, putting them all on the floor, oh, yeah, pissing everybody off, making lots of friends over there, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how they did that, but they got that down to an art form, honestly. But let's get away from, you know, the more negative stuff. Let's try to be positive, you know, permanent positive perspective. That's one of the ideas that I'd like to try to apply to myself. I'm not doing very well with it, though. I'm failing. I am. It's hard to maintain permanent positive perspective, because you sit there and you're like, really? I feel like a fucking asshole. And you're like, no, honestly, this is good. You have to, self-talk is very important. You have to have good positive self-view. Yes. You know, it's good to have that stuff.
That's true.
But when you
keep happy
thoughts, you know, and try not to feel like you're losing your shit. You know, so one of the things that make me happy, you know, aside from when, you know, my virtual environment doesn't restart every 20 minutes and my levels work and my computers are all there, stuff that makes me happy is technology, right? So this is why we have Cyberpunk Kit. Everybody loves Cyberpunk Kit. Let's get some Cyberpunk Kit on the go. First piece is waste gas. Now, waste gas is a concept I came up with in this is a very after now Cyberpunk Kit session. But Kai Shaku sent this one in. Want an alternative for the contents of your septic tank? Mohammed Satik has the answer. The Poop Mobile. Bristol Street's become the first test run of the methane-powered car, which allows an alternative to petroleum fuel, the BBC reports. The BBC's John McGuire is given a tour of the methane-powered car by Mohammed Satik. The biobug runs on a processed methane gas generator as part of a raw sewage treatment process. Engineers from Wessex Water estimated the waste from 70 homes would generate enough gas to run a car for 10,000 miles. Despite being powered by fuel created from sewage, the car does not smell unpleasant. Which is, you know, a piece of shit car.
It's a bonus.
I got my piece of shit car. It performs like a normal car. You wouldn't know it was powered by shit. Oh, well, biogas, a company spokesman said. To use biogas as a vehicle fuel without affecting vehicle performance or reliability, the gas needs to be treated to remove carbon dioxide content. Genco, parts of Wessex All Water, imported specialist cleaning equipment to draw the raw method generated at the sewage treatment works in Avonmouth. The spokesman added, our site has been producing biogas for many years, which we use to generate electricity to power the site to export to the national grid. With the surplus gas we have available, we want to put it to good use in a sustainable and efficient way. We decided to power a vehicle and the gas offering a sustainable alternative to fossil fuels, which we so heavily rely upon in the UK. Now, if there's one place that needs to get this technology, we need to get this technology in California, because there's enough bullshit flying around in the United States that our power problems would be over. You know, absolutely. I mean, and feedlots, thank you. If they can get this running in one of those little tiny, like Britain is tiny, okay, and they can make this stuff happen, like we just harness the feedlots and we'll run our cars on cows. That'll be awesome. Everything runs on bullshit anyway. You know, it'd be fantastic. So it's a neat concept.
Waste. That's great. Yeah,
I think it's good.
Alternate fuels is always good.
Anything that gives you more power for less money, always good. Now, in the there's also the vending machines. They provide everything. Everything came from vending machines. So, of course, there's been a big notice by the Army of the Flying Monkeys, which that new logo that Epix sent in for the Army of the Flying Monkeys there. We finally got that up on the site. I guess you put that up on the 7th.
Yeah, I put it up a couple weeks ago.
About a month ago, actually.
It's great.
I don't go to my own website to suggest news stories to myself, so I never got a chance to see it. But that's like, if we're not selling that as a t-shirt, we should be. They're, you know, white t-shirt, that on it, bang, right there, Army of the Flying Monkeys, for sure.
That's not a bad idea. Actually.
You're damn right. It's not a bad idea. You could. That is an outstanding logo. It's even easy. We could get that put on a patch. I mean, that is just a fantastic logo. I just wanted to, you know, if you haven't been by there, take a look. If you want to know how to, you know, get in touch with me and send me news stories, there's an interface on the Newsreel website. You can go in there, and there's a really cool logo for the Army of the Flying Monkeys. And I mean, there's definitely a lot of guys out there like Wyandi and Fat Ninja and gobs. I mean, there's so many I could name. Renegade Rabbit. I'll go on for days.
People would love to put this on their clothes. Yeah.
Yeah, or you know, on your blogs, like a little banner or something that says, "Hey, I'm part of the Army of the Flying Monkeys." You know. So I just think that's the logo is fantastic. I'm really really pleased about it. I just wanted to say so. Hey, anybody wants to have a look at that? Have a go. But back to these. Back to these vending machines. Now, we already talked about how they're going to be doing it with the irises down in Mexico. So this is this one's using your thumbprint. But this, you know, we're just going to swap this out. So this is what the new vending machines are looking like. Your thumbprint might soon be the key to an afternoon candy bar. I love how they have the sum up at the first line. You know, that's like what they teach them in school, right? You have to have the sum up in the first line. A Massachusetts-based vending machine company is joining the growing ranks of companies that are field-testing new technologies, which is like... That's like an Onion headline. Next generation vending food services experimenting with biometric vending machines that would allow a user to tie credit cards to their thumbprint for a certain demographic. That's pretty cool, says John S. Ionu. Yes,
A certain demographic.
Well, Rule 34 applies, dude. Yeah, for a certain demographic, they're making porn about it, but that's not a justification for it. Next generation is currently testing about 60 of the biometric machines in various locations in the Northeast. The company is also testing other technologies, period. Well, good to know. You know, they got other... Who wrote this? You know, what was this written by? A speak and spell? Ionu says the key to transforming the vending machine business is making the consumer feel more engaged. Engaged by the vending machine. Hello, consumer. Come
here. Get away.
Today might be numbered when a consumer watches a bag of chips. The days may be numbered where a consumer watches a bag of chips roll through the machine and drop. Next generation is also testing a machine. You know, I'm trying to think of how they could be more
vending machine.
Maybe they have like, you know, this like you have all the chips and there's like a 4-foot space between the glass and the chips, right? And then you put in your $2 and a robot that looks like a woman, but she's all looks like a woman who's a mannequin who's like been sewn in like some bad David Cronenberg thing, like sort of like gets dragged, just like and grabs a bag of chips and like walks over and throws it out the little slot, and then you know walks back off the set. That's what you get for $2. I mean, if you did that, dude, your vending machine would be empty. You know, totally. But that's. I won't be surprised as the vending machines are going to revolute. That's going to be the thing that hasn't caught on here. It's big in Japan, but wait for it. It won't be long before you will be able to buy anything you want from vending machines. Like Vegas. You buy iPods and iPhones from a vending machine. It's insane. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there's the infamous Japanese women's underwear, used women's underwear, from a vending machine, which, you know, I mean, scientists are working around the clock to figure out just what the fuck's wrong with Japan. But, yeah, that's what we're dealing with the vending machines. So good to know. Good to know. However, Winged Strategos sent in a story about a super teabag. Super teabag. Finally, a teabagger I can get behind. A new teabag uses nanofibers to suck contaminants and bacteria out of the water, providing a desperately needed cheap solution for billion people without clean drinking water. Very cool. Researchers at South Africa's Stellenbosch University made the device from the same material used for the bags in the country's popular Rooibos tea. Inside the sachets are two tiny destroyers of all thing unsafe. Ultra-thin nanoscale fibers, which filter out far more harmful contaminants and bacteria-killing grains of carbon. To use the device, a person simply places the bag in the neck of a water bottle. The bag cleans the water as he or she drinks. A single bag can filter up to a liter of even the most heavily polluted water. The bags are thrown away once used. Stellenbosch microbiology researcher Marisette Botts explained that when she set the water cleaning device apart from its predecessors. What's new about this idea is the combination of inexpensive raw materials, namely activated carbon, antimicrobial nanofibers, and point-of-use water filter systems. The nanofibers will disintegrate in liquids after a few days, will have no environmental impact. The raw material of the teabag filter are non-toxic to humans. I mean, that seems like a really simple idea, right? You know, you just take a tea bag, stuff it in the neck of the bottle, and you're good to go. You got water. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, was that so hard?
Great.
Well, they had another one.
Before they had the drinking straws.
The life straw, the life straw.
Those are made of plastic, and you
and it's expensive.
But this is all biodegradable. Yeah, exactly. This is cheap.
Yeah, so, and hey, clean water, it's important. And, of course, you know, we already know about the threat posed by certain things like smart drugs, where that's going to become being abused. But getting smart drugs passed to market is, there's so much painful, you know, testing they make you do, whereas with attachments, they don't make you do that. They don't make you, for implants and such, you don't have to do as much testing. So let's talk about transcranial direct stimulation, TDCS. This is your daily hack today, sent in by Kizzle, in which weak electronic currents are applied to the scalp using electrodes. It is the first non-invasive way of stimulating the brain that can more than double visual memory performance. Double your visual memory performance. In the future, Chi says, it might even be possible to use TCDS to develop a thinking cap that enhances learning. Subjects then repeated the experiments 12 times. One group received a so-called anecdotal TCS, which boosts activity on the right, ATL, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, they put this shit on the guy's head, they ran some voltage through it, and they could remember more. So that is going to be a piece of tech that is going to be heading forwards. And of course, if you want to know how to make one of those in your own house, you can check out this awesome set of YouTube videos that was sent in by Alex, which is your second part to that, which shows you how to strip down and essentially build anything you want out of recycling your own electronics, which is kind of a neat series of how to make anything you want from L-wire and microchips in your own home. So a nice little set of daily hacks today. Yeah, it's getting more and more cyberpunky as we go. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. Sim and I will both be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute the show. Give the show to people who you think might like it, especially Juggalos. We have a big love for them this week. If you can, please donate. And if you can donate, do so by going to rantmedia.ca, and you can. There's all kinds of places. Buy some media. Lots of free stuff to be had. Or you can send raw gold, bullion, diamonds, and jewels to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, B5T1W0. And, of course, we want to thank the Army of Their Flying Monkeys, which now has a cool logo they can copy and put wherever, for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at ranradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the RAN newsletter and by sending an email to my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, and you can get him at info at rantradio.com, info at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance as per usual. And as well, Epex, who's been totally rocking the bells lately, has sent me in a really awesome mashup remix of Rammstein versus Little John by the Joker Inc. mix of Du Haust, which I really thought was pretty cool because I don't really like Little John and that whole thing. But it's I thought
really
it was
really good.
Yeah, I sent this to you earlier. Yeah, it was. It's good stuff. So, Simi, have you got anything else going on?
Nope, that's it.
That's it for the show. We made it! Ha! Remember, hey, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Joker in.
We go forth in Tango Rise. Say what? We got good stuff in the house tonight.
Yeah.
We go forth in Tango Rise. Say what?
We got the hate to yell in the house tonight.
Yeah. We go forth in Tango Rise.
Say what?
It's affecting ladies in the house tonight.
Okay.
We go forth in Tango Rise.
Say what?
We got
two. Du hast mich. Du hast mich. Du,
go, 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 go,
hast,
go, 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 go,
hast
go,
mich.
Go, 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 go,
du,
go, go, go,
du hast,
go, go, go,
du hast
go,
mich.
Go, 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 go,
go, go. It's your
birthday.
Get low, 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 get low